The Mics.
Y Rommel Caja Vilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Caja Vilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is John Fisher of North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. I listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in the fair city of Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, November the 13th. My name's Sheldon, and Jill is with me as usual. We thank you for tuning in to us today here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. If you'd like to reach us, we have an email address, radioreport@yahoo.com. Our show is live streaming and archived at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, has two new members this week. We welcome Kent and Daniel, bringing us to 859 members. We invite you to go and join the group. Lots of great information there, stories from the show, stories that don't make it onto the show. And we welcome your input, any interesting items you might want to pass along to our group members as well. And we have our YouTube channel. You can go and check out the show anytime you like at youtube.com/@IRR, where we have 728 subscribers. So, as we do every week, we have 30 minutes of news and information on all sorts of different aspects of radio. We're going to talk about ourselves for a little bit to start things off, because we have an anniversary coming up. Not only us, but CKUT as well, because our anniversaries basically coincide. If you're new to the show, you may not know this, but CKUT will be celebrating its 35th anniversary on the air, coming up on November the 16th. It began here in Montreal, broadcasting on 90.3. on that date. Prior to that, the station operated on a carrier current station, which ran only through the campus of McGill University. The call letters at that time were CFRM, the RM for Radio McGill. And on Thursday, November the 19th, just a few days after the station went on the air, the very first edition of the International Radio Report aired on the station. We were originally at 2:30 in the afternoon. I was the original host with co-hosts Bill Westenhaver and Richard Cazavant. And the program, still running today, is one of just a couple that have been on the station continually since the station's startup back in 1987. So we're quite proud of that. I know our neighbor in the afternoons on Thursdays when we started Positive Vibes, a reggae music show, that program is still going at CKUT as well, still in the same time slot. So we have them to congratulate on their 35 years as well. One thing we've done this week is with our Facebook group, we'd like to find out a little bit more of how you are actually accessing our program. Because as I mentioned off the top of the show, we have a lot of different ways that you can listen to us. So we put a poll up on the Facebook group asking you what method you generally use to listen to our program, whether it's over the air, live on Sunday mornings, whether you're listening to the live streaming through the CKUT website, whether you use our YouTube channel, or whatever other ways you may have of trying to catch our show. So we put a poll up there. There's a number of choices, and you can add your own choice if you see something, if you're doing it some way that we haven't listed there, you can put that in as your option. So we have over 850 Facebook group members, but only a small number of you have responded so far. So we did send out a reminder this week. If you can take a few minutes and just go to the Facebook page or group, and it's right near the top of the page in the featured items. Put a little mark on the method you use to listen to our show. And that'll give us a pretty good idea of just how we're getting to various people out there that are listening. So it's a painless exercise to do. Just go in there quickly, put a little note in there, and that will really, really help us. So as I said, you can find the poll by going on the Facebook group, International Radio Report. Click on the featured tab at the top of the group page and the options will come up for you. So we'd really appreciate if you take the time to do that. And next week on the show, we will sort of officially mark our upcoming anniversary of 35 years on the air.
Cool. And that poll is important because it came up with one simple question we had last week, me and Sheldon, is what's the most popular way that people actually listen in? And we want to know.
Yep.
So Christmas music. Yes, we talk about Christmas music. We're going to talk about Christmas a lot, I think, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's one of these things we do every year. We sort of keep our eyes out for what stations are doing, and we reported a number of them that made the switch to all Christmas format very early this year. Now we have some more or less local information.
So WEZF-FM Star 92.9 goes all Christmas music. This is via Ian Illigan, radio in Montreal, IO Group. So the first station to go all Christmas music in our Montreal listening area is Star 92.9 WEZF in Burlington, Vermont. They made the switch at 7:30 a.m. Eastern on Friday, November 11th. So for those that wonder, because you might not understand it, we're in Montreal, Quebec, and you're saying, well, what are you talking about? A station in the U.S., WEZF is a station that comes in really well. And actually, a lot of the stations from northern state of New York and Vermont actually give a pretty big signal here in Montreal. So you can start listening to some Christmas music if you want on the FM band.
If you want. Yeah. We will probably get a couple other local stations that'll start doing it. I know there's a few that don't do it as early as this one does. We'll keep you up to date just in case you're just that desperate to hear Christmas music. I'm not. I don't think a lot of people are, but it's a very, very successful format, apparently for advertising revenue. Everybody wants to, that Christmas music puts them in a buying mood, and the advertisers jump on board with their early Christmas specials and all this. So it's a proven format. It's just not for everybody. And stations use it also to give people some time off as well. Often the stations go automated or voice tracked during this period. So, not everybody, not all the regular staff is always on the air like they normally are at the rest of the year. Next, we have a story that came to us, actually a request from one of our listeners. Bob Murphy sent this piece to us actually a couple weeks ago, and we didn't get to it last week, so I did promise Bob that we would mention it this week. The headline is Chris DiPaola, the voice of Westerly, Rhode Island, remembered for his reliability and love of radio. It comes from the Westerly Sun newspaper. And before I read the little part of the story, Bob Murphy wrote, he said, a friend of mine, Chris DiPaola, passed away at the age of just 49. This was a big loss to the community he loved and served through his radio stations. A few good words would be great on your show if you were able to do it. He started as a low-power AMer and served downtown Westerly, Rhode Island area, and was eventually able to purchase a high-powered station and develop them. Chris reported news and didn't take political sides, which is a good thing, especially with people here in the U.S. becoming so divisive and mean. So from the Westerly Sun article by Nancy Burns Fusaro, Chris DiPaola, the lifelong Westerly, Rhode Island resident, whose name was synonymous with WBLQ, the local radio station he lived, breathed, and loved, died early Friday from an apparent heart attack. He was just 49. often called the voice of Westerly due to his passion for live radio, his tireless support of local causes and community events, and the reliable way he greeted his devoted listeners each morning with the region's latest news and weather reports and sports. De Paola was a constant on Westerly's airwaves and within this tight-knit community. As news of his death spread on social media, tributes poured in from friends, family members, associates, former colleagues, business owners, nonprofits, and listeners, with posts expressing shock, sadness, and disbelief that the larger-than-life personality who called himself Crazy Chris would no longer be greeting them live on 12:30 a.m. each morning. So, you know, this is how many times have we talked about this, the loss of personality-driven yeah. radio. And, you know, this is through a really sad way. Many stations are, you know, getting rid of personality-driven radio and just going, you know, canned programming or voice tracked or what have you. But in this case, this was somebody who was really active in the community, really loved radio and really put everything he had into serving the community and doing what he always wanted to do, be on the radio. So really sad when we hear somebody like this passing away at such an early age. And our condolences to Bob Murphy as well. You know, this was a personal friend of his as well. So we're happy to pass along that story and let our listeners know about him.
This makes me think about something also. We often talk about the big personalities that, you know, are all on major networks and across America and so on. But we forget also that there are these personalities that were driven on more local radio stations. And, you know, every little town, every city has probably a name that they can get out and say, well, yeah, that is somebody that changed radio forever in our little community or in our space.
Yeah, especially he was on 1230 kilohertz, which is one of those what we call graveyard frequencies. They're basically stations that have an absolute maximum of 1,000 watts. Yeah. So they're really designed to cover a very, you know, a small community, basically, with not a wide coverage range. So, this was a case of somebody who was really serving his direct community where he lived and where he ran his radio programming.
So we've got follow-up stories of pirate letters sent to Brooklyn, New York, and Johnstown, Pennsylvania. This is via Radio World. So the FCC is continuing to send letters to property owners in various parts of the United States, warning them about alleged pirate radio operations on their sites. Randall Rogelski in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, was warned about an unlicensed FM broadcast on 99.9 FM that the FCC detected from his property. PERS Realty and site manager Uriah James got an FCC letter about a signal on 97.5 megahertz at their property in Brooklyn, New York. These join a fast-growing list that have been sent by the commission in recent months. Some of the communities where the owners have received the FCC's letter in 2022 are Philadelphia, Hazleton and Kittening in Pennsylvania, Baltimore, Adamstown, and Beltsville in Maryland, Fort Lauderdale and Kissimmee, Florida, La Grande, Oregon, Walsenburg, Colorado, Rochester, New York, and several parts of New York City. The letters informed the property owners or landlords that they could face penalties of more than $2.1 million under federal law for allowing such broadcasts. They provide recipients 10 business days to show that they are no longer permitting pirate radio broadcasting to occur at the property. I can imagine the landlord going and knocking on your door saying, got to stop that pirate station now.
Yeah. You wonder, like we talked about this in previous weeks, a lot of these property owners who don't live on the premises, you know, probably don't know what's going on in their building. So they're probably very shocked getting these letters.
For sure.
Something going on, maybe, you know, in another town, even some cases. So, they're really clamping down pretty hard. And it's going to be interesting to see how many people end up getting fined and whether or not they're going to be able to come up with the money to pay them. So,
and, you know, a lot of these owners sometimes are like out of Cape Town, or in, you know, they could be in down south and enjoying some vacation. And it's like, yeah, well, you get that letter and you didn't notice it was there, and you take more than 10 days.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be complicated.
So we'll have more of these stories coming, I'm sure, because it looks like they're getting very aggressive with this, with these actions.
Yep. So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun this week was in general rather quiet, but we did have some moments where the solar wind actually created some disturbed moments where the geomagnetic field was unsettled. But in general, conditions were quite good. I mean, contacts on FT8. Yes, I did. I did go there. And you could see that in general, conditions throughout the week were pretty good on all bands. So really, really nice to see the shortwave HF spectrum open and open to so many different parts of the world. We've got some sunspot 3141 particularly that could, it's a possibility that it could actually do an X-class solar flare. It's a really complex group. And it's a very, very special group, too, because it contains a sunspot within a sunspot, which is very weird. So all of that means that conditions could change at any time. But right now, they're rather quiet. And the solar flux is at 139, sunspot number 79. And there's no real coronal hole right now for the week ahead that could disrupt communication. So quiet conditions until maybe something happens with one of those sunspots. But for now, just enjoy the conditions. They are great. But for that, there's one thing you got to do, and it's turn on a radio and listen.
I'm David Bochner of Guelph, Ontario, and I get my weekly radio news on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
If you were turning on the radio in the last couple of days, there's been a couple odd things going on and some tricky things with a couple of the North American shortwave stations.
There's WTWW that left shortwave in a very quick manner. It's like it was there today and gone tomorrow, as we say. This is by Dave Zantow in Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. So Dave writes, Ted Randall has been babbling that tonight, November 9th, we will be the last broadcast due to the financial issues. Said they will continue on the internet, apparently. So Dave, N9EWO. There's an update from Glenn Hauser, and the update says that actually the real problem is that for some reason, Ted Randall has been failing to carry Scriptures for America broadcasts. They, after all, own the station. So on November 9th, or into the 10th, a representative from the Scriptures for America in Colorado came in, closed down the station, and just said to Ted Randall, bye-bye, got no place for you anymore here. This is a breaking story as we go to press on Thursday afternoon, as it was like it's a weird story that I think we're going to hear more into it within the next few days for sure. So more to follow. Maybe Ted will find some other station to carry his stuff. I had noticed that there were more and more music and less of Scriptures for America on WTWW. Why did he switch off the Scriptures for America, put more music when, from what we see here, they own the station, so they were the ones that should be priority on the air?
Yeah, it is very strange. I don't know much about Ted Randall, whether he was a member of this group. Was he just employed by them to run the station? I don't know a lot about this operation, so not really sure. But you went and you said you went and checked out the WTWW website.
Yeah, and all you have is a big donate now if you want to keep us on the air. And they completely changed the page. Before, they had a little donate button and all the info about, you know, it's still there. If you look on the page, it's still there, all the info of their frequencies they were using and so on. But the main thing that happens when you go to WTWW.us is a really big, let's donate now to keep us on the air, almost as if you wanted to keep the operations going but have some other form of money coming in to keep the station there. It's really, really weird.
Were they live streaming as well?
Yeah, they were all streaming their different frequencies on the internet at the same time as they had the shortwave.
Okay, do we know if the live streams have stopped as well?
I checked yesterday and the live stream was still there with music. Hmm. So it's really like the shortwave transmitters are off, but the streaming's still going.
Okay, so for those people not familiar with WTWW, there's a number of these commercial independent shortwave stations in the U.S. Where are these guys located?
So WTWW is in Lebanon, Tennessee. Tennessee seems to be a big place for shortwave. There's also WWCR located there. So it's interesting. A lot of people are sad because they did get to one little niche market that we don't have on shortwave, really. Kind of reminds us of the days of WRNO, the Rock of the World. They were actually playing a lot of music, pop music of every kind, up to the rock music of the 50s. And there's a need for that because a lot of people enjoyed that. And in the evening, even I, in the evening, sometimes when I didn't have much to tune, I'd actually go to 5085 and listen to music all evening. So it's kind of interesting. And it's a weird story, actually, the fact that for some reason, there was a change in the programming, and they just seems like Ted Randall didn't follow what he was supposed to do, I guess.
Well, interesting. We'll keep following the story. I'm sure there'll be more in the weeks ahead. The other major station in the U.S. On shortwave was bracing themselves for Hurricane Nicole. A very odd thing to have a hurricane in the month of November to begin with.
Yeah.
It's pretty much past the season. So WRMI, Radio Miami International, they issued a special message on Friday, November the 11th. Dear WRMI clients, friends, and colleagues, I'm happy to report that Hurricane Nicole did only some minor damage at the WRMI transmitter site in Okeechobee, Florida, last night and early today, November the 10th. And all of our frequencies are back on the air on their normal schedule. We did sign off early last night on most frequencies for the safety of our equipment and staff, but we had no power or internet outages. And everything was working again in the morning. Hopefully this will be the last storm for the 2022 hurricane season. That comes from Jeff White, the general manager of WRMI. Now, they certainly got hit badly by the last big hurricane that went through Florida, and they were commenting how they were going to shut down in preparation. They had just spent the money to get all the damages repaired from the previous storm, and now they were sort of holding their breath on this one. But it appears that they didn't get hit anywhere near the intensity that they did with the previous one. So hopefully they said it was a nice sunny day, clear day afterwards, and so it looks like they got through with only some minor damage.
Yeah, that was something to look at because with Hurricane Ian that did so much damage, and then it's like, well, another hurricane. Let's hope it's not too strong, because I mean, already repaired and spent all of that money, having to do it again. It's one of those situations sometimes that could change the course of the future of some of the stations. And they took a lot of time, too. They took so many frequencies, took many weeks to come back from the last hurricane.
Yeah, I had heard that there hasn't been a November hurricane for something like back in the 70s or 80s, I think it was.
Wow.
So, pretty odd occurrence. But, hey, we all know how weird the weather's been and continues to get stranger and stranger as we move forward. So, anyways, we hope everything is solid and up and running, and we've seen the end of hurricanes for this season.
We have a quick breaking news for the International Radio Report added late Saturday evening. We talked about him, a week or a couple of weeks ago? Jim Bohannon was taking his retirement. So we learned late Saturday, November the 12th, that just weeks after retiring from his Westwood One syndicated show, longtime talk personality Jim Bohannon has passed away at the age of 78. So some sad news here, and we'll probably have a little more to talk about on this late-breaking news next week on the International Radio Report. So we got some upcoming ham radio contests.
We have a few events coming up on the weekend upcoming. The LZ DX contest, 1200 Zulu November 19th to 1200 Zulu November 20th. That is organized by the Bulgarian Federation of Radio Amateurs. It's operating on 80 through 10 meters, and it's both single sideband and CW.
There's the All-Austrian 160-meter contest, 16 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, November 19th, organized by the Austrian Experimental Transmitter Association, 160 meters CW only.
And the last one for this coming weekend is the ARRL sweepstakes contest, the SSB version of the contest, 2100 Zulu November 19th to 0300 Zulu November 21st. That's organized by the American Radio Relay League. The objective is to support amateur self-training in radio communications, including improving amateur operating skills, conducting technical investigations, and intercommunicating with other amateurs. Stations in the U.S. and Canada, including territories and possessions, exchange information with as many other U.S. and Canadian stations as possible. It runs through 160 through 10-meter bands, and it is, as I said, the SSB phone portion of the sweepstakes.
So lots of things to listen to, and reading the improving amateur radio operating skills. I've been doing some FD8 this week. I'm not sure where that actually goes through in improving anything, but oh well.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about those modes maybe on one of our upcoming shows. People who may not know what we're talking about there with mentioning the modes like FT8 and others that are out there, digital modes, basically non-voice communications.
It is true that there's a lot of modes that we talk about, like in the ham radio contests, and some are digital modes, some are modes that are human sent, like most of the Morse code or CW, and of course SSB voice. And also, you know, maybe we could eventually talk about the fact that even the digital modes, even if you're not a ham, you can actually use software to decode these modes like FLDG and so on. It's something that a lot of people don't actually know much about and dabble, but it's kind of fun. It's one of those things that you can try. And even in the ham contests or in the ham radio bands, you can actually use the software and try to listen to all of what's available in the either digital modes or even software for decoding Morse code CW that can be used. And it's not a bad idea sometimes, especially if you want to become a ham radio operator, to brush up on your Morse code and maybe learn it. And hey, it's going to be one of those modes you're going to be able to use with your ham license.
Anyways, if you're participating in any of those contests, have fun with that. If you run into any interesting radio-related stories, do consider sharing them with us, either by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, or post them directly up to our Facebook group, International Radio Report. Always love to hear from our listeners out there. And do go in and complete our Facebook poll. Yep. Really important information that we'd love to hear from you as to how you access our program each week.
Definitely. And it's always fun to have news from any of our listeners. So we are out of time.
Yes, join us next week for our 35th anniversary broadcast. We'll try to talk about some of the interesting things that have happened over the 35 years here. I can't believe it's 35 years when incredible. I looked at that number. It's incredible. But we've been here for that long, and we've had a lot of people help us out over the years, too. So we'll recognize all of them on next week's program. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
United Nations.